I was thinking very much, what shall I speak tonight? And I did pray to Lord Jesus to help me, also to manage with the language barrier. And I praise him because he's doing it in our life. I was thinking to speak about one of the subjects, but on the way he changed my mind. So it is when he changed your mind, you don't have anything to do, just follow what he said. Because Lord Jesus, he was obedient, as we heard this evening. And I thought to read from Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here, starting with verse 12 till verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the signs in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, because by him were created all things, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or leadership or principalities or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all, and all things subsist together by him. And he is the head of the body, the ensemble, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heaven. I was thinking about what we had this morning together, and what God gave us in the reading. I'm still thinking, it is a big privilege for us to speak about Lord Jesus Christ. It is a big privilege. Not so many people has this privilege to speak about him. You are going to speak about him just when you are going to know a little bit of him. How can I speak about space if I don't learn about space? But I need to know about space in order to speak about it. Otherwise, I fool myself. It is also a honor, a big honor for us to speak about Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And also, in the same time, I'm thinking it is a responsibility for us to speak about him. And we praise the Lord because he led us to speak about him. I don't know the name. I was looking on the internet to see the name of one who went on space after the Russians, some Americans went with a spaceship. And when he came back, one of these American men, when he came back, every time when he said the name of God, he raised up himself. Even he stood somewhere in front of many people. Every time when he spoke the name of God, he stood up. He raised up on his feet. Or if he had the head covered, he uncovered his head. And he was asked, why are you doing such a thing? Because the Russian people, they were also, and they speak about God, and they sit and things like this. And he said, you know, I'm so grateful to him because he led me to know a little bit of his heaven. And I like to honor him a little bit of honor for my life. And every time he stood up when he spoke about God. In this respect, I was thinking how much more respect we can give He didn't just let us to know about the heaven, but he let us to know about him. Every time when we pray, and when we think, when I think about he came from heaven to earth, even Brother David mentioned in the reading today, he came from heaven to earth. I'm thinking in my mind, sometimes we don't really realize what was the cost, but what was the meaning to come from heaven to earth. When we think about Lord Jesus Christ, reading in the book of Revelation that 24 thrones, they were around him, and elders sitting on the thrones with the crowns on, and suddenly they just went down in front of him, and they took the thrones and threw to his feet in respect of Lord Jesus Christ. What a place he had before the Father. When all the angels, I don't know how many, we don't know, thousands of thousands, billions, angels, they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." Fantastic. When we think just about this place, which he had, and he praying that in John 17, as we heard today, it touched my heart what he said here in John 17, I think it is verse 24. "Father, as to those whom thou hast given me, I desire that they where I am, they also may be with me, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me." The glory which thou hast given me. When we think about that glory, it is beyond our imagination. I spoke today with Sister Romy about a little bit about heaven, and she said, it is beyond our understanding. We cannot comprehend all these things. But even though a little bit, as much we can imagine, the most and best and extraordinary imagination we can have, that's nothing comparing with the reality of glory which is prepared for us in heaven, but of him, how he was. And he came from that glory on the earth. What a place to live on earth. And he came just for you and for me. When God asks, who is going for us to save the nation? Who is going for us? He said, here I am to do your will. He wanted from the bosom of his Father. We don't understand. I don't understand what that means. From the bosom of his Father, he came, and he wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a castle. He wasn't born even in a very rich family. No, he wasn't born in such a way. He wasn't born even in a normal house or hospital like we are. I was thinking, some people are judging you by the place you've been born. Where have you been born? In that village. Yes. Where have you been born? In London. Wow, London. Where have you been born? In the United States. Wow, United States. Where have you been born, Lord Jesus? In a stable. Well, from the glory in such a dirty place. Not healthy at all. Not safety at all. But God was with him. He came in such a low place in order to lift me up. To lift you up. He came so down, as we heard even today in the evening. Why? Because he humbled himself in order to save you and me. Well, he would only stay there forever. God gave him the first place. And as we read here, I'll start with verse 15. It says, who is image of the invisible God? Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And I try to understand a little bit. How is that one? He said in John, I think it is in John 14, when he spoke with his disciples, John 14, verse 8, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Am I so long a time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He is the image of the Father. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And he says, And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father it is in me. It is exactly what Paul says here. He is the image of the Father. He came here to reveal the Father. And also in John 17, in the same chapter which I read before, I like to read this one. It is much better when I read. It says, I think in verse 6, I have manifested thy name to the men who believe me. He is the image of the Father. Well, when we see Lord Jesus Christ, we can see the Father. When we look to him, we can say that. And it's somehow we can understand this, yes? If we see a family with more many children as we are, first of all, we look to the parents and then we look to the children and we can say, he looks like his father. She looked like her mother. She looked like her mother, yes? Or something like that. We look, we have this look, yes? We look one another. And we say, we can say, she has the father's eyes. And I was thinking about this. Lord Jesus stood so much with his father that he was the image. He took the image of the father on himself. And he came down here to reveal to us. Then he says, there are so many things. I was thinking about this chapter. And from verse 9, Paul was so amazed. I think I like to imagine Paul in a prison because he was reading while he was in a prison in Roma, this letter. He was so amazed about Lord Jesus Christ that if you will notice, and I think you will notice, maybe you noticed before, from verse 9 to verse 20, he didn't put a full stop. I think it is the most longer sentence from the Bible. He was so amazed that he forgot about the grammar to put a full stop. He had so many things to speak about Lord Jesus Christ that he said, he is the one who is the invisible, the image of the invisible one in verse 15. And then he said, by him were created all things from heaven and from upon the earth. And then he said, in 16, all things have been created by him and for him. I was thinking about it. Wow, this is another responsibility, as I said before. It is a big, big, huge responsibility. All things were created by him and for him. This is a big question mark or alarm, yes? Warning for me and for you. I was created by him. And I was created for him. Now, what I'm doing with my life? Now, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. I like to do what I please myself. Well, you was created by him. And you was created for him. Give your life to him. And you will enjoy your life. It is fantastic how God put Paul to write this letter. All things were created by him, and all things were created for him. So I was, and so you were. And then he says in verse 17, and he is before all. He is before all. In Genesis chapter 1, God speak with Jesus Christ, and it says in chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man on our image. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all. And he had a reason. Because it says here, in verse 17, and he is before all, and all things subsist together by him. if you want to do whatever you want with your life, you know, I was thinking, he can take your life anytime he wants. Because all things, your life, your joy, my joy, and all things subsist by him. I can't do everything what I want in my life. Because I need to come to Lord Jesus to say, well, today it is a new day. I thank you very much for this day. Please show me the way today. What do you want me to do today? It is my life which I gave to you. I was thinking about one brother in Romania. He used to travel with a train so many times just to preach the gospel, because we were forbidden to preach the gospel. But somehow he managed. He took a ticket from Bucharest, let's say, to Oradea, which are about 600 kilometers, and he was traveling 10 hours, and he stood in the train. And in that train, he took his Bible, and every time he had the occasion, he spoke with some people. And as the people are coming and going down, you know, traveling from station to station, from stop to stop, many people, they came in that compartment. And three young lads came over there, and they need another one to play cards, because they said they need four people in order to play cards. And they asked this Christian, would you like to play cards with us? Do you know to play this such of game? And he said, I used to play this game. And they said, okay, do you want to join us? And he said, I would like, but I don't have hands. I need to ask my master. They look at him, he has full hands. He didn't have any problem, you know, disability. And they start to mock him. You have hands, how can you? Are you in your mind? Yes, yes. Would you like to let me to ask my master? And one of them said, okay, let's see what he is going to do. And he said, yes, yes, ask your master. And he bowed down, he kneeled down over there, he said, Lord Jesus, you know, these gentlemen ask me to play cards. Would you like me to play with my hands? Because, you know, I gave you such of time my hands. Would you like to do let me to play cards? I ask all this in your name. Amen. They had nothing to say. Wow. And they start to ask him, are you going to do this every day? He said, yes, of course. Are you going to do with everything in your life like so? Yes, he's my master. I gave my life to him. I gave my heart to him. I gave my mind to him. I gave my eyes to him. I gave my feet to him. I asked him for everything. He's my master. And he provided me everything. And then he started to preach the gospel. All things subsist by him. We cannot live a second, fraction of second, or maybe if it is another division of fraction of second, we cannot live even that one without his power and without his willing. He wants us to live on this earth, and how long he wants us to live on this earth, but we need to do his will. I like because Paul, he speaks here about the supremacy of Lord Jesus Christ. He came from glory, as I said, to earth. What a place to live on earth. We don't like so much. Yes, there are so many things nice on the earth. Mostly what God created. That are the most beautiful things which we can see and we are amazed about. But when we think about our life, we would like to be much, much better with Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, I would like much better to be with him. But for you, it is much better to stay. He came in this world. And he came so low, in such a level that no one would be pleased to be born. But God didn't let him there. As we heard also in the reading today, he lifted him. He gave him the highest name that every knee will bow. Mm-hmm. And Paul wants to emphasize here, and he is before all, and all things subsist together by him. And then it goes on and it says, and he is the head of body. And he is the head of body. He is the head of assembly. Nothing, we can't do anything. All our action, they are, how can I say, they are guided by the brain, by the head. What I am doing during the week time? Do I listen to the head? Do I do what the head is telling me to do? This is a question of my own life. This is a question of everyone's life. It is good to listen to him. Because in such a way the body functions. And it says here, who is the beginning? He is the beginning. And in Revelation it says, he is the beginning and he is the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. So this means he is the first one. Firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself. What a great thing he has done. He came from heaven in such a dirty place, and he died for us in order to reconcile with himself. Someone would say, okay, you've done something wrong, you are going to pay. I used to work here in London for one of the bosses, and he said, Daniel, you broke it, you own it. And I was very careful with what I was doing, because I didn't want to own, to have some broken pieces of some things which I was working with. You broke it, you own it. No, Lord Jesus isn't like that. We broke it. We broke our life. We broke maybe others' life. Maybe you have a broken life. But he won. He wanted to bring you back. He wanted to reconcile with himself. He wanted to reconcile you with him. He wanted to make you to put pieces like puzzle and to make a big picture of your life again. Just think about it. You was made by him and you was made for him. That's very, very interesting. And if I'm raising in the morning with this thought in my life, I'm thinking, wow, I can do whatever I can do, but I need to do what he wants me to do. That's much better in my life. Anyway, Paul goes on and he said, the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. And we could see in the Gospel that God several times he spoke and he said, this is my son in which I am pleased. This is my son. What a nice testimony. And I was thinking about glory. Bear with me a little bit. I was thinking about Peter, John and Jacob, when they were on the mountain with Lord Jesus Christ, when he changed his face and his garment became shining like snow. In such a place, when you are in close to his glory, you start to don't be selfish first. You start to don't think about anything else. Anything. Peter said, what it would be if we build some shelters here for you and for the other two? He didn't thought about himself. You start to don't think more of you. That's a very, very important thing. And I think it is like, I don't know if you say barometer, something that control yourself. Do you think very much of you? This means how close I am to my God. Because as much I'm close to God, I'm not going to think of me anymore. Peter didn't thought about the other disciples which were down in the valley. No, we want to have some shelters for you and for the other two. How wonderful. I was thinking about Moses when he went in the glory. His face was transformed. The fullness of Godhead was pleased to dwell in and by him reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of the cross. When we think about this, it is another subject to speak about. The blood of the cross. When we think that in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And God teach people from the beginning, isn't it? when Adam and Eve, they did the bigger mistake in their life. They tried to hide. And God, He came and slain one animal in order to cover their nakedness. So there was bloodshed. Then when Abel and Cain tried to bring a sacrifice, as they thought in their mind, one brought fruits from the field, and one brought a lamb without spot and without blemish. And the blood was shed in one of the sacrifices. And didn't say that God didn't like Cain and He loved Abel. No. He says that He looked with much more pleasure to the sacrifice of Abel. He hasn't had anything against Cain. But because of the blood, because the blood was shed, God was much pleased about this. When you think about that very night when God told to Moses, take a lamb. Tell to all the nation from Israel to take a lamb for each family. 1 year old, without blemish and without spot. And slain. And put the blood on the post, doorpost. And when I will go, and when I will see the blood, I will pass over. Why? Because of the work which they have done, the people from the house? No. They could be maybe 100 people if they had the capacity. No way. Doesn't matter from which race you come, it doesn't matter which person you are. God, when He saw the blood, He passed over. And Lord Jesus come with the holy blood. And it says here, having made peace by the blood of His cross, by Him, whether the things on the earth or the things in heaven. It is very deep, this, what He said, because we haven't had peace with heaven. Have we? We were enemy of God. But He, by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, the very first day when He raised from the dead, He told Mary, go to the disciples and tell them that I am going to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. He made peace between us and God. What a wonderful idea to think. What a wonderful thing He has done. I cannot think more about this. He made peace between me and God. When you think about that, even Moses said, I am afraid and I tremble. Even Moses, who saw the glory of God, he said, I am afraid. And now we can go to say, Abba, Father. We can go so near. We couldn't go much nearer than this. To say, Father. God the Father. May the Lord help us to understand His supremacy and give Him the glory. And just think about this. I was made by Him and I was made for Him, for His name's sake. Amen. Amen.